widgets or whatever the parts are that are needed to make an automobile or to make just about anything, make it hard to find those things and have contributed mightily to inflation. You can read the Wall Street Journal, you can read the Financial Times, any of the more or less objective observers to the economic conditions in the world point not at Joe Biden or any governmental action so much as the confluence of things that have caused the supply chain fracture, which is, and part of that supply chain has been staffing. It's been staffing for trucks. And now, isn't it ironic, really, and sort of horrifying that what we've got is a massive staffing problem in our hospital and health system. Some of this staffing problem is clearly reflective of dislocations that relate to how much we pay people for doing the tasks they're doing in our economy. And I think what's clearly being exposed now is the extent to which people are asked to do heroic kinds of work in the healthcare industry, but we aren't paying them heroically. And they're being asked to take so much out of their life and out of their psyches to carry out this work that many of them have just decided they can't do it. And that has hit us at the time of the, and part of the cause of this was the COVID pandemic, when people's lives were so stressed, people who were working in the healthcare industry, their lives were so stressed, and they felt essentially that they couldn't be compensated adequately or weren't being compensated adequately, that they stepped back from their jobs, and now we have shortages. Same is true of pilots and airlines. You know, pilots were asked, the older ones were all kind of persuaded to resign so there wouldn't be an excess of pilots. Now we got a shortage.
Sandy, when you talk about the pilots, the older guys are making all the money, most of the money, and that became an issue. But this says longstanding problems, worker burnout, and staff turnover have grown worse as COVID-19 wave have hit healthcare workers again and again and again. But this all goes back again, Sandy, to your Hoyle and the Hoyle that you have constantly talked about, and that's our government not planning. You know,
I won't agree with that. I'll cut you short. This isn't the government not planning. This is an economic system we have, which has thrived for too long on undercompensating the working cogs in our economy. So we have healthcare workers who've been undercompensated for quite a long time, and it didn't matter until we stressed them to the point where they began to evaluate their circumstance. And I would say that the pandemic was a time when much of the economy was put on pause. Many people were able to reflect on their lives. They're developed a lot of at-home work. They're developed a lot more leisure time for people to consider their circumstance and to realize the benefit of leisure time. And it has totally changed the willingness and the appetite of people to work under the conditions that they were working for the compensation that they were working. You look at the whole restaurant industry. Now, I mean, the restaurant industry, these various industries aren't subject to government planning. They were subject to private economic planning. And the economy was for too long based upon asking people to do too much work for too little.
So, Sandy, you...
Everyone, yeah.
No, so finish your point.
Well, I mean, ever since 1980, everyone knows that white-collar workers have come to the point where they work more and more hours, take fewer and fewer days of vacation, and the work ethic in the white-collar workplace, it turned into an ethic in which people were were persuading themselves that they had to work harder and harder and harder to keep up with their peers and to succeed what was defined as success within each workplace. And, you know, America became a place where fewer and fewer families took vacations, and the whole working scene in America became, and we sort of developed a pride about it. You know, this was America's work ethic, and we would compare it to France and laugh up our sleeves at the fact that the French families
all take their vacations
for the month of August.
So, Sandy, with the healthcare industry and what you're talking about, these things could have been avoided because they're a for-profit system. And it's not like there weren't resources around to compensate those healthcare workers, right? I mean, the hospitals certainly spent a lot of money, as they do constantly. They keep up with the newest technology. I don't care where you go, Sandy. I don't know of one hospital, major hospital anywhere, that you don't walk in there and they don't have the top technology, or they're not constantly building something, right? I mean, there's resources there that they could have valued the healthcare workers.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are assets in the workplace. There are the physical capital assets, and there are the labor assets. And I think the business model in America for too many decades now has been premised on exploiting and underpaying the human assets while we busily stayed right at the top of the world in terms of the investment in physical assets and capital. But for instance, the healthcare industry. You can go in the broad healthcare industry. You can go to nursing homes today. You can look at what was going on in the healthcare industry up until the COVID epidemic, and you can realize that vast numbers of people who work in the healthcare industry are receiving close to minimum wages, or at least the minimum that the general locale requires for work. So $15 an hour, that kind of range. And for too long, that was the kind of pay range that was being paid to healthcare workers, and it became not a very attractive place to try and train yourself to work and recruit. So that didn't matter so much until COVID came along, and all these healthcare workers who had been willing to work in that environment realized that environment was essentially killing them, and so many of them stepped back, created a shortage, and now the industry's having to catch up by rather rapidly engaging in wage gains. Many of them tried to stop or avoid the process of raising wages by offering bonuses. Bonuses is kind of like throwing some chum over the side of your boat to attract the fish. You know, they're not going to get it year in and year out, but they're going to get a bite at it. It'll attract them. And so then lots of industry tried to use the bonus arrangement to lure people in. They're still going to get the same wage, but this year they'd earn a big bunch by getting an upfront bonus. That really hasn't worked very well. You know, credit to the workers, they've been pretty savvy about it. And so wages will have to rise to solve for the worker shortages. But in healthcare, there is a lag because it takes training to be a healthcare worker. So you can't just create nurses overnight.
Sandy, we're here now, right? I mean, all of those things that you talked about are absolutely true. Had the COVID situation not occurred, we wouldn't be talking about this now. And I've been talking about this over the last week or two about the fact that when you go in a nursing home, I was in one just this past week, I don't care how opulent it is, they don't have enough workers to get the people up out of bed and move them around. And so right now COVID is not rearing its ugly, it's starting to, but it's the fallout from it we haven't seen yet. So we are really going to be faced with some things. It doesn't matter how many more of these homes that they build, Sandy, they're going to keep building them, because you and I are at the point where, you know, we are going to be needing those facilities. But with all of those things happening, if they don't get their act together soon, Sandy, they're going to be deluged with people.
Well, the business model in the United States is going to have to change, and it's going to have to change by each of these businesses recognizing the importance of their human capital and their laborers. And you can go to nursing homes today, and not only are they understaffed, but most of the staff is very apparently undertrained.
Right.
And the reason they're undertrained is because they're undervalued and underpaid coming in the door. So it's hard to ask somebody to undergo a lot of training so they can work for $14 an hour.
True.
So our industry needs to open up its eyes, and it's going to be particularly important, I think, in the nursing home business, where there isn't the same sort of strain, but it's developing quickly.
You know, we've got to go to a break. You guys hang on the phone lines. We'll come back to you right after the break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.